Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John chapter 19 and verse 14. Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 14. John 19, 14 reads this way. It says, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we thank you for the promise of your presence before us. And we ask that you would empower the service with your Holy Spirit, that you might guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, and that we might worship you in truth and spirit for your glory and our blessing. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is The Preparation of the Passover. The Preparation of the Passover. And I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you. This did not catch God off guard. God was quite well aware of everything that was taking place. And we'll see really tonight an example of the sovereignty of God. You ever look at that word sovereignty? And just before the last two letters, there's another word in there that says reign. So the sovereignty of God means that he reigns, and his reign is supreme. And everything that he says is going to take place. You can count on it. It's going to take place. And so we thank the Lord for his great faithfulness. I want to look just at four little thoughts tonight. And that is Pilate's rejection of God's conviction, and then God's revelation, and then the saying that ended Pilate. There was a saying that took place, and it was the end of Pilate. And then we'll see God's providence here. Look at verse 7. Notice it says, "The Jews answered him." And this is Pilate's rejection of God's conviction. Look at this now. "The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid." So there's fear there, right? And the reason for that fear was because of what was said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know we looked at this message last Sunday, but there's some truths that we didn't cover that I want you to take note of. And even more important, I think God wants us to take note of, because it will strengthen our faith in God's promises and in his assurance. Everything that he says will take place, will come to pass. And listen, he still gives every individual the freedom to make choices. And I think as we look at this, you'll realize that God has woven his perfect will into ours. In other words, he knew everything we were going to do. Doesn't that make sense? He knew everything before we ever were created, what we were going to do, think, and say. Isn't that something? Before we were ever created, God knew everything we were going to do, think, or say, and then he put his will out there. Now, I don't know if it happened exactly like that. I would even say this. God had all of his will before who knows when, right? I mean, God is not part of time. We are the creatures of the clock, and so we understand time that way. But God was an eternity past when there was no time. There just was always. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And you and I, we call that eternity. Eternity past or eternity future. You and I will be there one day. And because of the grace of God, we will never die. We will never get sick. The best thing is the presence of our Savior. Amen? But then we'll be reunited with loved ones to worship our God together. And I am convinced, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, I'm sure several times, Brother Bill Wyatt, when he mentioned how God just keeps pulling back the curtain and showing us more of his glory, more of who he is, and he'll do that throughout all eternity. That's true, because our God is infinite. Allow the Holy Spirit to take you for a ride in that thought. How God is not just going to, you're not just going to be impressed. Yeah, have you ever been impressed by something you weren't interested in? You know, somebody says, hey, look at this, check this out. And you're really not that interested. And then when you see it, you go, oh, that was a little bit more than what I was expecting. Right? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it was worth 30 seconds. I was okay. No, God's going to far,
far surpass anything, the greatest expectations that we can have in our minds. God's going to surpass that throughout all eternity. I don't understand that. But in along those lines, here is the eternal God in the presence of a human being who thinks a whole lot more of himself than he really ought to. And that's what mankind will do every time they set God aside. Now listen, it can happen to the child of God that we think more than we should of ourselves. And what that does is it disconnects us. When I say that, it causes us to miss out on what God has for us to understand. So notice this again. Here's Pilate, and the Jews are saying, hey, he made himself the Son of God. Verse 8, and when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Now remember that question. This is important because God is going to give him a revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to give him a revelation. He's going to answer that question. Now, listen, let me ask you again. Did God know everything that was going to take place this day? You have to remember now, you have the religious rulers of the day trying to overthrow the plan of God. God's plan was that his son, the Lamb of God, would shed his blood, would be the Lord's Passover for all the world. At the Passover might redeem us from how much of our sins? All of our sins. And so God, the Passover, was going to take our place and shed his righteous blood and apply that to our account that we might have eternal life and be able to be in the presence of God. So here the whole time, the religious rulers have a plan. And they're going to follow through with it, but you know what? It's not going to move God's will one iota to the right or to the left. Wait a minute, Pilate had an idea also. Oh, wait, but it's not going to move God's plan one iota to the right or to the left. There were two thieves on the cross. There were centurions that were there that had their plans and they had their ideas. Today, the world has its ideas and its plans. But ultimately, whose plan will be fulfilled to the T? And that will be God's plan, right? Amen. All right, so watch this. So he says, he went again to the judgment hall in verse 9 and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave no answer. There was a pause there. And this is important because now God is going to give him a revelation. What God did there was to cause Pilate an opportunity to hear God. So it's different. So all of a sudden, now you got to remember where he's at. The first thing that God has to deal with in the life of a human being is what? There's something that God has to deal with before we will ever trust him as our own personal Savior. Self. Well, self, yeah, absolutely. But what's the sin that starts with a P? Pride. So he has to deal with our pride. And why do I say that mankind has pride? Because mankind doesn't really think that they're that bad of a person. They really don't. Have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard this? Ready? There's some good in everybody. That's a lie from the pit of hell because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. How about this one? How about this one? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. And my goodness, you'd be amazed at that theme, how often that theme is bombarded into our minds by different movies. Cartoons particularly. And I won't tell you from where exactly they come from, but we've been hearing them for many times. Follow your heart. How about this one? Ready? Oh, well, I know what I believe in my heart. Right? You ever heard that expression? I know what I believe in my heart. Well, what does the Bible say about the heart of man? It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's a good thing to know. So should I follow my heart? No, I should not follow my heart. My heart will deceive me. My heart will not always agree with the word of God. My heart will cause me to maybe make plans to sidestep the Word of God. And so I ought to follow what the Word of God is saying and ask God to guide me in that, or I will be misled. So here we come. Ready? Here we go into this. So he says in verse 10 now, so Jesus gave no answer, and now the pride of Pilate comes out. And the reason why the pride of Pilate came out was because Jesus gave no answer. See, Pilate thought so highly of himself that he thought Jesus should, I asked you a question, answer. But wait a minute. Do you remember? Wait. He was knocked down a few notches. Because when the Jews told him who he was, the Bible tells us in verse 8 that he, Pilate, was the more afraid. There was already a problem in his heart. God was working in Pilate's heart. He was already working, and I think, really, I really believe this, and this is just my thinking here. I think he was trying to suppress the fear that what he was feeling. And then the Jews said this to him, that he made himself the Son of God. Now Pilate's more afraid. So things aren't boding very well for him. And so now when Jesus didn't give him an answer, I'm not going to say that Pilate was very arrogant. He was concerned, and he wanted Jesus to let him understand. See, how many times can you imagine Pilate, knowing Pilate and the history of Pilate, knowing Pilate, how he was the governor and how people had to come to him, and he actually made decisions. People died and people lived. He gained wealth and he maybe made it a little bit more comfortable, a little bit better for other people too. So he was in the business and he was used to people coming to him to settle some disputes and situations. And so he was used to people coming to him, and he had this authority that he thought made him something special. But the only thing, listen, the only thing that makes anybody special is a relationship with God Almighty. And specifically with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one God. There is only one God. He happens to be a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there is only one God. And I'm sorry. I really am sorry if that offends anybody, but I promise you it's not going to matter a hill of beans. What does that mean? There's not a whole lot to it, right? When we stand before God. And I would rather stand before God right in His sight than concerned about what this world that has crucified my Savior, that has no part in the kingdom of heaven, has to say about it. Let me say that again. I'm not concerned about what the world thinks or says, because that's not going to mean a whole lot when we stand before the truth Himself. It's not going to matter. Now, I will tell you this. I'm not going to pour salt on the wound, because we are to reach them with the gospel. But what I'm saying is, I don't want the world, what the world is saying, to sway my heart. I will respect the world, and I will try to win them with the love of Christ to the Lord. But I'm not going to care enough for them to say, well, I better watch what I say. Do you think the Lord did that? My goodness, I better watch what I say. I mean, after all, the religious rulers are in front of us today. Do you think he worried about that? Now, I think we need to do it in the love of Christ. And I think if you look here, God is being very merciful to Pilate here. But listen, the truth is going to offend. It is going to. We need to make sure that we speak the Word of God by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit for the Lord to make it compelling to them, for the Lord to make it that where it draws their heart. But watch this here, verse 10. Then Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? And I'm going to say, maybe with all due respect, Pilate's speaking to the Lord now, because he's the more afraid. You're not speaking to me, unto me. Knowest thou not that I... Listen, we can make a deal here. Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or to set you free? Now, this is going to be listen, this is going to be an unbelievable revelation here that he had no idea about. And this is what the Lord says. Now Jesus answered. Remember, before Jesus did not answer. Now the Lord's going to answer. What does he say? Verse 11. Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Do you realize what he is saying there? What you're doing is ordained from my Father. Did that not give our Savior peace? Was he not in the hands of his Father? Are you and I not in the hands of our Father? Do you listen, at that moment, if he wasn't in the hands of the Father, he could have said, well, maybe we ought to make a deal. I don't want to offend you. Did he do that? Did he say that? Did it even enter into his mind? And by the grace of God, may it never enter into our minds. May our loyalty be to Christ and to him alone, not to the world system that we've been crucified to, that has rejected our Savior. We are in the world, but we're not what? Do you follow that? It's not wrong. But listen, remember this. Even your occupation and everything that you do that is in the world is in the world system. Don't be taken by the world. You're in it, not of it. What are people that are in it and of it do? My goodness, you know, they move by the commercial. That's the world. They move by what they hear the news saying. Oh my goodness, you know what's going to happen to this economy? Everything's going to fall apart. Buy gold. Isn't that what they do? And then listen, the child of God can get caught up in the world. Should the child of God go run out and buy gold because the world is saying? Do you see how that causes us to act? I mean, my goodness, I mean, here, ready? It's a good investment. I mean, you never know, you know, blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, you're following the world. Now, it's not sinful to buy gold, but you don't want your heart caught up in that because your heart and your soul is in the hand of God. And he said, if you seek me first, not what the world is saying and doing, I'll give you all these things. Not like the world. That worries about all those things. And God says that we have been saved from the world. And that the world is in the hands of the devil. He's the prince and the power of the air. And don't you know the devil would love for us to be so preoccupied and so distracted that we don't think about the Holy Spirit working his peace in our lives that the world might see. The Lord was in the world, but he was not of it, was he? You know, that statement that Pilate said when Jesus answered it fell so flat, Pilate must have thought, that was bad. That was you ever tell a joke and you think, I wish I never would have told that one. That just fell flat, right? Boom, boom, psh, you know, the gong show. Most people don't even know what that is anymore. Anyway, he didn't impress the Lord one bit because the Lord was not of the world. So he says, thou couldest have no power at all against me except for it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now very quickly here, as we consider verse 12, this is the saying that ended Pilate. Now, did he have other opportunities? Possibly, but this is the saying. If you'll follow with me, you'll see it here. That really put the end to Pilate. Look at verse 12. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, here's the saying. They cried out, saying what? This will show you where his loyalty was at. This will show you where his heart was at. He was on the threshold of eternal life. He realized who the Lord was. But he loved this world more than God. Did you get that? Pilate loved this world more than God. May that never be said of a child of God. But he loved this world more than God. And so they said, saying, verse 12, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speakest against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that what? Saying. This was the saying right here that ended Pilate. He brought Jesus forth. Ready? Did you see that? When he heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And now watch this. As we look at this, here's the providence of God. And it was the preparation of the Passover. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. That was God's timing. Even in the midst of all this chaos, even in the midst of all this deception that was going on and all this haggling with the religious Jewish leaders and Pilate and all this garbage that was brought. Who should I let go? Should I let Jesus or the murderer go? And they wanted the murderer to be set free. Notice verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Now, that's a true statement, but it's done. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, shall I crucify your king? Not his king, your king. The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. That sealed them too. Then delivered he him, that's Pilate, him is Jesus, therefore unto them to be crucified. He sealed his fate. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth to the place that is called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And so here we find God's providence, verse 18, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side and Jesus in the midst. But you know, when you look at this, the world would say, man, that was the end of Jesus. Oh no, that was the beginning. Amen? For us. That was the price paid for you and I. And that was the plan of God. Because the Bible says, let me read two scriptures and we're done. 1 Peter 1:20, who verily, speaking of Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That's our Savior. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, before the world, before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? So this is the preparation of the Passover that God had prepared when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, or an eternity past, before the world ever started. So if God planned all that out before we were ever even born, and he knew us before we were created, does he hold the rest of today in his hands? How about tomorrow? How about until we see Jesus? Do you know God has a will for you and I? Do you know what his will is? That we would present ourselves before him and ask him to do his will in our lives. He's not asking us to do it. Please don't misunderstand that. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that. You won't find that. It's not our power, it's his. It's not our righteousness, it's his. And he wants to do it. And all we have to do is call upon him and watch what God will do. And I'm convinced, listen, that God can use us in such a way to where the presence of the Holy Spirit walks before us. And they will see the witness of God. And more will be done if we'll wait upon the Lord by calling on him and say, oh God, you know what? I've got lost loved ones that need to be saved. I have neighbors that need to be saved. I have friends that need to be saved. Lord, there are those that I walk amongst, and I can't do it. But you said you could. And so, Lord, here I am presenting myself that you might use me, the vessel, for your honor and glory. Choice is ours, amen. The opportunity is ours. And God invites us to say, come. God will not infiltrate our life, but he'll be invited because we belong to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the wisdom it brings, the understanding. Lord, may you build and grow our faith that we might call out to you and expect the answer that you would show us great and mighty things. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.